There is now a science of gratitude. You know, scientists are relative latecomers to the topic of gratitude or gratefulness or thankfulness. And for centuries, philosophers and theologians have led the way in discussing and talking about what gratitude is. But lately, psychologists have jumped on and tried to understand what it really means for a person. How do you study it? How do you create more gratitude? And why would you even bother to do that? What are the effects of gratitude in people's lives? So scientists are applying the tools of science, observation, experimentation, to try to understand this age-old virtue.
What is gratitude?
Well, gratitude, there's a lot of ways to define it. I think the simplest is to really think about it in terms of an appreciation for things we normally take for granted. So benefits, gifts, favors, things that we have, maybe they're material possessions, maybe they're just kindnesses we receive from others, maybe it's just a pleasure we feel by being out in nature. It's a sense of thankfulness for these various benefits and realizing that not all of those are totally of our own effort, that we realize and recognize the contributions that others have made to these benefits in our lives. It turns out that gratitude as a practice of cultivating gratefulness, of counting blessings, of appreciation of what one has is one of the strongest predictors of happiness. And happiness matters because happy people are more successful in life. They're more productive, they're more satisfied with their relationships, they're better liked, they contribute more to society. So anything that gets us to create a sustainable long-term increase in our happiness is going to be very powerful, and gratitude is, in fact, a reliable route to happiness.
Is gratitude a choice that each individual must make or decides not to make?
You know, that's a great question. I really think that it is. The more that I study it and look at it and examine it and talk to people and look at the science of gratitude, it really is this conscious decision. It's an attitude, and we can choose our attitudes. That doesn't mean it's an easy choice. It doesn't mean you can just press a button one day or one morning and become grateful. But by really, you know, making this decision a commitment to practicing gratitude, one can at least start a process of developing a deeper sense of gratefulness. And it can be as easy as, you know, learning to say thank you on a regular basis, keeping a gratitude journal, and that's a choice. But it has to be an intentional choice because I don't think it comes easily or naturally to many people. It really has to be practiced. Much like physical exercise, this is a mental exercise that has to be, you know, practiced and performed on a regular basis.
Well, tell me about your research.
Yeah, so when we began our research, you know, I was asked to attend this conference on positive psychology. Positive psychology is really a focus on strengths or virtues, again, qualities that for centuries philosophers and moralists and theologians have written about, things like hope and joy and optimism, forgiveness, humility, and gratitude was one of them. And I was assigned the topic of gratitude, told to, you know, go out there and find out what do we know about it? Is there any science of gratitude? And this was about 10 years ago, and there really wasn't 10 years ago. So I had to do some research right away. I thought, well, what's the fastest and most, I think, persuasive way of making a case for why gratitude is important? So we did research where we had people keep gratitude journals on a regular basis. Go home tonight, write down 5 things in your life for which you're grateful or thankful. Then we had a second group of people, just the opposite, what we call the hassles condition. So these whiners and complainers, we asked them to go home and write a list of things that went wrong today, 5 complaints. And then we compared these groups. We had about 100 people in each group. At the end of 3 weeks of doing this every night for 3 weeks, we looked to see if there was differences in terms of the psychological health, physical health, relationship satisfaction between these 3 groups. So we did this very simple experiment, and we did find that there was some really measurable and noticeable differences between these groups.
What were some of those differences?
Well, the main differences had to do with both psychological health. So the people who were keeping gratitude journals felt more energetic, more alive, more determined, more vital. They felt just more engaged in their lives. So it seemed to really augment what we call high-energy positive emotions. So they just felt more engaged with the world. They also felt better about their physical health, so they're less bothered by health complaints. They slept better. They exercised more. They were more refreshed when they woke up. And then lastly, in terms of relationships, they felt closer, more connected to others. People who knew them, people who were living with them, spouses, roommates, noticed the changes in these people, noticed that these people were happier and more energetic and a little bit easier to live with overall, I would imagine. So there seemed to be a number of benefits, physical, psychological, relational, that accrued from the simple practice of keeping a gratitude journal.
Well, for the Christian, the Bible is just full of challenges and encouragements to be thankful.
It really is. I believe the word thanks in its various forms, thanksgiving, thankfulness, appears about 150 times when one looks at the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament. And the phrase, the imperative to give thanks, which is saturated throughout the Psalms and Paul's letters in the New Testament, occurs about 30 times. And I think that's instructive. The fact that it's repeated so many times implies that we need to be reminded of this, that it doesn't come easily or naturally, but it's something that we can become very forgetful of and therefore need to be reminded of it on a regular basis.
Well, our worship includes praise, and you also say that our prayers should include gratitude as well.
Well, worship I really think of as praise and thanksgiving, the twin pillars of worship. Now, I'm not a worship leader, not a theologian, but certainly you look at the scriptures, you just see it, that praising God for who God is goes hand in hand with thankfulness for what God has done for humanity. And so there's really this, close link, this natural connection between praise and thanksgiving as elements of worship. And you look at worship music from, traditional hymns to contemporary worship music, and you just see the language of thankfulness and gratefulness is just permeated throughout.
Well, we've heard the verse many times, and we've quoted it, "In everything give thanks." It sounds so easy, but like you say, when times are hard, when we're climbing the mountain and we can't see the end, gratitude is still important.
It's essential, I believe, to really living life the way in which life was intended to be lived.